Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Desi, noun, a person of Indian, Pakistani, Bangladeshi, Nepali, or Sri Lankan origin who lives abroad.
American Desi. Well, that's what we hope to discover here.
Hello, everyone. I wanted to switch it up from the what up that I've always said, but hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of American Desis. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
Whoa.
Trying to pick up the energy, you know what I mean?
You just yelled at me.
Arjun and I are both very tired. That's the thing.
I mean, here's the thing, you guys. We're both in a fortunate situation where we're both in a, you know, Akash is about to, I put it out on Twitter, but Akash is about to be working on a new show for MTV2. It's called Jokes Off.
Joking Off.
Joking Off. That sounds really dirty.
That's the idea. It's one of those pun type things.
Are you excited?
I'm excited. I'm always kind of nervous when you film something. Probably because I don't have enough self-confidence or something like that, but I'm always kind of nervous, especially when it's new and I haven't done it before, but I'm excited. It should be fun.
Tell me what's the kind of basis of this show, premise?
It's kind of like Whose Line Is It Anyway meets Wildin' Out, if that's the best way I could put it. It's like...
Break it down for me more.
You have teams. It's three teams of two, and you run out there and you just play a bunch of games. Like one game is like... it's kind
of
so
anything prepared ahead of time?
Not really.
Ooh,
I'm sure there's some things I can prepare. Like I'm wilding out, it's improv, but you know there's a game called So Fly. So right now, if I wanted to, I could come up with a couple of So Flies, and then 8 months from now, if I'm on an episode and we play that game, I'll have one ready. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But, yeah, for the most part.
Well, that's exciting. So when do you start shooting tomorrow?
Tomorrow's a rehearsal. Monday we shoot. Monday through Friday, doing 12 episodes in 5 days.
And, yeah.
I don't know how many I'm on, but we'll see.
Everyone?
Yeah.
What about you?
You're leaving for San Fran. And
yeah, then... I start driving up. I start my trip up to Vancouver very soon. My life is about to change quite drastically. I'm leaving L.A., giving up the apartment, giving up everything, kind of just packing everything in my car. I didn't bring that much stuff to L.A. a couple years ago when I moved out here anyways. I think that subconsciously... I was going to say subconsciously I knew it was temporary, but... Yeah, I'm throwing everything in the back of my car, and I'm driving up, stopping in San Francisco and Monterey to see some family, and then I'll be up at Vancouver the end of the month. We start work. So
for 5 months.
5 months, sir. Yeah, we're gonna. I know I said it before, but we're definitely gonna be getting some interviews up in Vancouver. Hopefully, I can get Akash out while I'm out there, and we're gonna have some fun. It'll be
Canadian Desis.
Yeah, see what they're
North
like.
American Desis. That will temporarily change the name of our podcast to North American Desis.
But today, we're here to talk about Parvesh China. What a fun interview.
Super fun, super relaxed.
Just super mellow dude.
I got his name wrong.
You did.
He didn't even care.
Nah, man. It was fun. Y'all didn't see this one, but when he came in, I love Parvesh. And I worked with him. Actually, that's a funny story. I've never worked with him. I just feel like I've worked with him. That's hilarious.
We did a comedy show together.
Oh, right, we did. But here's how I met Parvesh. We were both seeing a play at the Public, right? And he was on Outsourced at the time. And I said, oh, cool. And I was with a friend of mine. And I was like, hey, it's nice to meet you. And then it felt like, you know, it's funny. He talked about not really feeling super, brown-centric. But I felt like he... totally took me in that night simply because I was a brown actor and was too. And then we went out that night and we went to a bar and I met Ben, who was the guy on Outsourced. And it was just, he was just so generous. And I mean, you can kind of, listeners, you can probably get that from the way that he was with the interview. But it was so funny. He walked into my apartment because that's where we did this interview, that particular one. And he just started walking into people in both our rooms. He just started looking around and he would just be like, I'm going to go into your room. And I was like, okay.
That's a good impression, honestly. I'm going to tweet him to listen to this episode for this impression. That was pretty solid.
But we had so much fun. There was, I mean, there was a lot that he talked about. And honestly, you know, to be very frank, Akash and I were struggling a little bit about what we were going to talk about today because he handled stuff so well. But I, you know, I had an experience, and Akash, I don't know if you remember this, but right after we finished and once he, you know, he left the apartment, you know, we were talking, and you asked me, you were like, yo, it felt like you were pressing him a little bit.
Yeah.
And it didn't, like, when I listened back, it didn't feel like that. And what Akash meant, and I think it's true, I was kind of, I think I was looking for something with him. I think that I have a, Parvesh was the second member of the queer community that we had had. We did him after D-Loco, right?
Correct.
And so I think that I was always, it always bothered me so much that there was homophobia in our culture, the South Asian culture and you know, the Desi American culture. And I think I wanted, I think I was asking, and I'm going to admit this probably was unfair, but I wanted him to advocate for our community to be better. I thought that me saying that would be one thing, but hearing it from someone in that community, in the queer community, could have been really powerful. But I guess in hearing him, the way that he was talking about the way that things have changed now, and when he looks at the younger generation, and he's like, they don't give a fuck.
I keep saying it, man. These millennials don't give a fuck.
And we can see, I mean, and there's been so, we have to talk about, I mean, the Supreme Court did the right thing and, you know,
oh, yeah, we hashtag love wins. Then.
No, we haven't really. And I mean, we want to applaud. I don't think there's anything but applause to be said. But there was also, it's a funny thing. I know when John Amechi came out in the NBA, and then when Michael Sam came out, all of us were kind of a little bit like, all right. It didn't have the same tenor as when Jackie Robinson got into baseball.
John Amechi was, I'm going to be honest, it was a hilarious thing to all of us that were basketball fans. I don't remember a ton of homophobia, but it was also kind of fucked up that we all just probably laughed at it, like, whatever. And then no, Michael Sam, there was a lot of, like, support.
It was support, but it was also support, like, okay, it, you know, I don't know, it just felt like the culture around it has become really much better for, you know, gay rights activists and for the gay community in this country. But I know they still get met with friction, you know? And the reason that I know that, because I work with a homeless youth organization, and there are still kids that are getting kicked out of their homes because they're telling their family that they're gay. This is still something that's happening, and they end up on the streets of LA, and they end up coming to bigger cities where they think it's going to be safer, and they end up on the streets. And so I think that... And I don't think Parvesh did this at all. I think it was just my own sensitivity about potentially painting this as if the situation is solved. I don't know. Do you think that was – maybe this is my sensitivity. Do you think that we did that? Do you think that that's something that's happening?
I did think you were pressing for it at the time. When I listened back, I didn't hear it. But I remember in that moment, I was like, yo, Arjun's looking for this. And that's fine. I've done that, I'm sure. But here's what I would say to you think about the homeless youth. First of all, who cares? No, I'm kidding. But that's parents still. What Parvesh is saying, what I always say is the youth is so different. Dog, the youth is so different. The only real phobia people have is like someone has a different political affiliation than them. Then you hate their fucking guts and you hope they rot in hell. But other than that, you can have sex whatever you want to, be whatever race you want to. All the acceptance that we've told people for so many years to accept in this generation of youth has been accepted.
Well, let me say this to you. This is my thing. Is all hate is taught. Yeah. All race. No one's born racist.
Right.
It's taught. No one's born homophobic. It's taught, right? And it can change. But here's the thing, and this is the thing that I always, this is where I caution. Yeah, the group below us doesn't care, but they're still going to be influenced by the generation that's above them, their parents. And so if there's still homophobia amongst that generation, it can still have influence.
It's not
going to
go
be passed
away,
on.
For sure. But I think we all can agree that your peers are a much bigger influence on you than your parents in terms of like, the way you see things, typically. Not always. But I think that's what studies say. It's
usually
your social circle that influences you more than anything.
Well, hold on a second. When growing up in Tampa, growing up where I grew up, everyone was a Republican only because their parents were Republican.
Yeah, maybe with that, like, political affiliations-ish. But also, you're going to a school where everyone's a Republican. I went to the school in the South. I went to school in the South. And no one like no one was a Democrat. So all my peers were Republicans also. I disagreed with them at the time. But
right.
I don't know.
I guess
I just think the youth doesn't care. The youth doesn't seem to see race in a way that I thought was impossible. The youth accepts everybody. We talked to a kid yesterday. We just finished our second round of interviews. She's in Cerritos, where it's a ton of Indians, and she was the president of the Gay Straight Alliance. Just the idea that there's a Gay Straight Alliance in high school, that lets you know how far we've come. That's crazy, man. And it's, sure. you're never getting rid of anything.
And you're right.
There's still 50 cases of polio a year. You ain't getting rid of anything.
But I don't want to. But I don't think we're at a point where we are at with polio, right? And you're right. We do have to acknowledge how far we're coming. And you're right. And Parvesh was a beautiful illustration of that, like the stories that he was telling. And once you guys hear from Anshika, you'll hear even more. But I think we're not at polio. There's not only 50 cases of, like, there's not a small number of. Hatred towards gays happening still. It's still out there. And it's still in our culture. In our parents' generation, it's still there. And hopefully you're right that in our generation, and if it can die with our generation, you know what I mean? Or it can die with, sorry, our parents' generation, then beautiful. Right?
I guess I'm just cautious. For our generation a little bit, but the generation under us, it's pretty much dead. Pretty much. There's going to be pockets of it.
You're a different generation.
Yeah, when we talked to Anshika yesterday, you guys are going to hear this however long, we just banked the interview, but we felt old as shit talking to this girl. These kids are completely different. They grew up with iPhones in their hands. We had dial-up internet as kids. You know what I mean? Like, they grew up in a different world completely. So for us to think anything honestly, we're closer to our parents in terms of what the world was like for us as kids than a kid 10 years younger than us is to us, if that makes sense. I don't know if I worded that well.
I think so. I mean, I guess the question was then maybe is the answer that we don't really have a problem anymore.
That's where I always kind of lean.
It's hard for me to agree with you. I mean, it's hard for me to agree with you. I don't know. I mean, I wish I could have. I think with some distance, I would have been able to phrase this better with Parvesh and ask him that. You know what I mean? What I wish I could have done was been able to sit with him and be like, hey, man, I'm looking for, do you feel a responsibility to advocate? Do you, like,
it
you know what I mean?
It might be a product of his laid-back nature that he said it's not a problem, but he clearly said it's not a big deal anymore for kids. I mean, he explicitly said that.
But he also talked about how he... You know, he still has experience. He experienced hardship.
Yeah, but that's what I keep saying. It's the kids. And he says, yeah, kids don't care anymore. His family in India, the young kids don't care.
I think you're just – I think it's dangerous to be so dismissive of the generation above, man. I think especially when you keep advocating, like, respect your elders and respect – and like
yeah,
we,
but
we come
you
from,
can respect it. We all respect a crazy elder. Like, we have grandparents with – you know, some grandparents with dementia or whatever, and we're all just like, yeah, I mean, he's crazy. I respect him, but he's out of his mind. And that's a different case, but it's the same kind of thing. It's like,
I just think it's dangerous. Maybe I'm wrong.
I still think you're doing it, dog. I still think you're just looking for the problem. Now, I'm not saying gay people never experience homophobia anymore. I'm not saying it's extinct. But I'm saying with kids, for the most part, it's just a non-issue.
I know, but we're not. If you focus on just kids, sure. But I'm talking about the whole society and the whole society. You know,
but the future is kids. The present is the present. But you ain't changing no 60-year-old's mind. And I'm not trying to change a 60-year-old's mind. What do you really impact? You know what I mean? Think how you think. We had grandparents as kids, like in America. If you ever went to your friend's house and he was with his grandfather probably grew up in a time where black people didn't drink from the same fountains. Who gives a fuck how he feels? You know what I mean? Like, it didn't matter. He didn't impact anything. He was just in a house that someone else paid for.
Fair. And I guess you're right. I agree with that. I think that I just want to make sure that everyone, I just don't want anyone to think that, you know, a homosexual that's coming out thinking that it's just going to be super easy for them. I guess that's where I get cautious. At the same time,
I think if you are a homosexual that has any of those issues, talk to a guy like Parvesh before you talk to us.
Yeah, that's
probably
true.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't want to be the guy like, hey, here's what you got to be ready for. Some shit I never went through.
Yeah, that's true also.
It would be like a white dude telling us racism still exists. I'd be like, all right, I will find out. Go fuck yourself. you know?
One thing I did feel, though, that one thing that it hurt me a little bit, that he felt, it seemed like, and he admitted this, that it definitely, his sexuality affected his ability to feel a part of the community. Because when he was growing up, there definitely wasn't right. what we're talking about. So when he was growing up, there was obviously a different reaction. And I think it's safe to say that that affected his ability to connect. And I think that for me, and just when I think about community and the kind of community we want to build, I definitely don't want anyone to feel excluded.
No, that's for sure. And that's a thing we got to think about. If we want to make this community inclusive, a lot of the people we see who reject Indian culture are people who are just responding to being rejected by Indian culture. Generally right. speaking, that seems to be what we come across. If you talk to somebody who's like, oh, I hate being Indian, and you really get in there and ask them, probably there's something like that made them reject their culture beyond just, oh, I don't identify with it. Either no, they didn't sure. accept him, or I guess family issues have happened once or twice, but it's usually, everyone just wants acceptance. Give the guy acceptance and they'll tend to accept you back.
It's just disappointing when you hear stories about, you know, and I didn't know this about the history about Sikhs were against homosexuality being allowed in Canada. They advocated against gay marriage being supported in Canada.
I'm just laughing at, like, being allowed. Like, what are you really going to do? I mean, like, what are you going to do? That's just crazy.
Yeah, it's just... Right. I mean, I think... Maybe there's not really anything else to say about that except just we want this to be an inclusive... We believe I believe in an inclusive community for our people. What else did he say? Oh, you wanted to talk about... I loved it. He was talking about even how we, you know, what's interesting is that we're now starting to become parents, right? Our generation and a few years above us are starting to become parents, and watching how that's influencing how we raise our kids, you know? Yeah,
this is actually, the first part is to the point of how much more accepting we are, but he said he had a friend who, I think his
wears a dress.
Yeah, wears a dress and maybe identified as a woman and they just accepted that. And I mean, that's great. But there's also a news story, and I think we're both just going to agree on this and it's going to be quick. But there's a news story where parents of a kid about that age are paying for the surgery like right now. And I get how you
think. Wait, right now they're paying for it.
The kid is like 7 and they're paying for
Is that even healthy?
That's what I'm saying. If you identify that way, great. But I think let's hold off on giving a 7-year-old ability to make a life-changing decision that you cannot reverse.
You're not allowed to drink until you're 21. I don't think it's crazy to say, hey, man, hold off before you make that.
Even 16. You're old enough to drive a car. You're old enough to know what gender you are, sex you identify with. I forgot the D-Lo classifications already. But I'll give you 16. Maybe even 13 you're going to be talked into if it's really rough for you. But 7 is crazy. I didn't even know I was attracted to anything at 7. The idea that I'd be attracted to something is crazy. The idea that I was a different gender and I needed to identify a certain way is crazy.
Yeah, that's early.
Well, but slow I think down that with all the open-mindedness, guys. That's my general point.
No, but that's different than open-mindedness. That's just irresponsibility.
Yeah, but my point is my point.
All right, there you
Let's
go.
Let's not fuck with that.
here's the last thing I brought up that I do think influences, that I think was where I learned something, was we were talking about how the American Desi culture, the community that we want to build, is inclusive, right? And we want it to. I understand then that he was talking about how he feels nervous about going to India. Can I hold my partner's hand, will that, what's allowable there?
Mm-hmm.
And it really drove home the point to me that, you know, the Indian culture is different than our culture here. And our response, I guess, and maybe it's our responsibility to the American Desi culture, you know, is because we can't change that. There's very little that we can do from here that's going to influence that.
Right.
And I think that it was because I think I've kind of had issue with that and struggled with that. You know? And I think, I mean, you've always been more clear about it. And I know Neetu was very clear about it. And I know that you guys are similar in that way. But for me, it kind of drove home the point of, yeah, you know what? We are the start of a different culture almost entirely.
Right.
And that's interesting. It was interesting. I don't know if there's anything else to say about that, but that's just what I felt. Should we move to community?
Let's do community.
You want to start us off with Twitter? What happened on the Twitter-sverse?
Nobody really had any particular... Aditi Bhargava, I hope I'm pronouncing that right. This is so terrible. I can't pronounce the
name. You good, man. You good.
Listening to the idea of integrated slash intersectional identities during American Desi's podcast is so cathartic. Do you know what the fuck she's talking about?
I do, because I was the one talking... It was in the panel, I believe, that we were talking about intersectionality.
Oh, and right. I think Kieran was talking about that or something, maybe.
Yeah, and even it became a topic and just like how, and that, oh, actually, I know we didn't really get a chance. I know we just kind of threw that up as a discussion thing, but that was a beautiful thing when Dr. Sony was talking about overlapping communities. That was really.
That's what it is.
That was really important. That was a beautiful thing that I think, I'm surprised more people didn't respond about that, truthfully, because to me it was like, kind of a light bulb thing to help me understand a lot of things that I've been struggling with is like, oh yeah, I am a part of the Buccaneer community, but when I go to Bucks games, I don't like any of the people, but I am a huge fan, you know? And so I think that's what she was talking to. And I think it is a kind of takes the pressure off of having to identify with one or being too specific or take the, like the mantle of only one community. Kind of a beautiful thing.
We also got love on something from Miss Shanaz. It said, "If I have to," it's a quote from one of us. I don't know who. "If I have to subject myself to this filter, I'm going to miss out on all this amazing people on the planet." Eloquently put at American Daisies. Again, don't know who said that.
I got to be honest. I got to genuinely honest.
Couldn't have been
say
me.
A lot of things. It could have.
I don't call people amazing. That's where I get fucked up.
I do. So maybe it was me, but I don't remember saying that. Because I got to be honest, I don't totally understand what
it
means.
Let us know who deserves credit, Ms. Shanaz. We're waiting on that.
You got any more Twitterverse stuff?
We got a little bit of love on the Instagram videos we put up. Guys, Arjun and I put up some amazing videos of us singing. And
I mean,
I just want you guys to check it out. You know what I mean? It's a masterpiece of cinema. Just go look at that.
They were also just really fun to do. Let's jump over to our email, I mean. Sorry.
Right.
We got an email from Chris, the subject line was "Our Shared Bloodline." I'm really identifying with the idea of, quote unquote, "through the specific we see the universal," especially after finishing all the episodes for the podcast. One universal thing I really identified with along the way was your interview and follow-ups about D'Lo, specifically where you talked about approaching ignorance with compassion.
Yeah.
And how he exemplified that when he gently corrected you accidentally calling him female. I spent a lot of my personal time learning about and making connections with people from many different cultures and backgrounds. So I get frustrated when new people I meet in San Francisco seem to assume I'm ignorant about cultural issues because I'm a heterosexual white man. Your podcast about D'Lo made me realize I could benefit from approaching those people with compassion in response to their ignorance about me. You know, a fascinating thing I like to remember is that the races that we now center our identities around have only existed for about 60,000 years. Before that, we were together for 140,000 years. That means that for 70% of human history, we were together. There was no white culture. There was no brown culture. Hell, there wasn't even white, bright, or brown skin. When I listen to your podcast, I can feel our shared bloodline, our shared human experience. All the best, my brothers, Chris. Damn. That was a beautiful ending paragraph. That's interesting. What thoughts you got from listening?
I don't know, man. For some reason, I got this button that turns off when white people talk to me about race. And I'm the guy he's supposed to approach with compassion, I think. Here's the problem, Chris, is...
What did you find fault about this email?
I didn't. I just, when white people talk to me about race, I'm like, all right, man, say what you got to say, and then we'll move on.
But
I don't care if you're ignorant. I don't care if you're not. I'm not going to yell at you one way or the other. I just don't care.
First of all, we don't even know that Chris is white.
He said he was white.
No, he just said heterosexual. Oh, he does say white man. You're right. Sorry.
Listen, this is the struggle of being a white guy. Is you're not allowed to have an opinion on everything.
No, no, hold a second. That's your thought on this. I thought it was a really interesting point. I think that yes, I understand your point that when white people take on a mantle of right, it can be potential. Unless they're really like get it, then don't talk about it because it's going to come off in a way that's going to be offensive. But this guy, he's saying is that
he's complimenting us, and I'm still
he's not necessarily
all right, cool,
complimenting us. Well, sure, but I'm saying what he was talking about the history, that for 60,000 years, that those races only separated 60,000 years ago.
That's a long time, man.
Yeah, but 100,000, 40,000. Yeah, but he's talking about the totality of it.
But it's a long time.
All right. I don't really know what to say.
I get his point, but 60,000 years is a long time. We are far from the 140,000 years ago.
Sure, but he's also pointing that the root of it is that there's a shared bloodline and there's a shared community. I think it seems like a very innocuous kind of beautiful sentiment that you're having.
It's probably just needed to disagree with something, but that's where I am right now. You know what I mean? Fuck it.
All right. Well, Chris, I think that's a really, I don't know. I was touched by that, Emil, and it was that's an interesting thought. I mean, I do want to hear more about that because I want to understand more of that history, that like how the races split, because I didn't know this. So I'm curious to hear more about that, Chris, if you're still listening after Akash was ridiculous. But I do want to say the other thing that he said through the specific.
Hey, can I quote you real quick earlier from before the podcast started? I don't know how you flipped the switch so fast. Arjun's exact quote before we started this interview was, "We're too high-minded sometimes. Sometimes I just want to talk about hoes."
It's true. It's true. But that was in the car on the way home. And then I read Chris's email. I don't know.
You managed to make that switch. I didn't. I'm not about the high-minded. Listen, when you said we're too high-minded, I was like, buddy, I will solve that.
Right. I understand that. I'll fix this issue, bro. But in general, that's my shit. You know what I mean? I'm not going to, you know. Anyway, my point is that he was saying through the specific, we see the universal. And I do want to say is, you know, I have several close friends who are starting to listen to the podcast now. And the constant thing that I get from them is they're surprised that they could relate as much as they could. And I really do want to encourage people, you know, if you let people know that, yes, this is centered around an American Desi kind of identity. And at times we get very specific, like earlier when we were talking about homophobia within our culture. But in general, what we're talking about are very universal themes, you know, rejection, shame, pride.
Italians are homophobic too.
Exactly. I mean, so I don't know. I was just something I'm glad people are starting to recognize that, because that is something that, you know, we know we're doing, you know, it's a conscious choice. Chris, thank you for your email. Please keep writing to us. Steve Walker, he said, this jumps back a couple weeks. Thank God for Bobby Jindal response. Oh, thank God for Bobby Jindal, the response. First off, I really love this episode. I think I said it on Twitter. The way I feel about the N-word and the F-word is, would I want this person to say it back to me? And if it's no, I wouldn't use it around them. I say the N-word, I'm black, all the time around friends and family, but I wouldn't use it around a stranger, black or otherwise. Because like you said, it has that history and not everyone is cool with it. Personally, I don't use the F-word or the D-word for lesbians because I just heard it a lot growing up and I still kind of cringe when someone not queer uses it. But at the same time, I'm cool with other gay guys saying it because I'm not going to police them. It's their word. How do you feel about that last part? I'm not going to police them. It's their word.
I completely agree. I never want to tell black people not to say the N-word, and it's the same thing with gay people. I have a gay friend who's a comedian who uses the F-word all the time. I mean, it makes me laugh. I'm not going to front. But I would never be like, hey, man.
Is he gay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I'd be like, hey, that's the point. I'm not going to be like, hey, man, you can't say that. No, this is how he deals with what he went through.
Would you ever use that in comedy?
Yeah, purposefully I would. I mean, but, now you can't, right, because you're just going to get crucified. You're going to get hung up on a fucking cross.
I think you would get hung from a tree. You wouldn't get hung up on the cross.
I was going to try to make a reference to Christianity, and I was like, you know, let me just stop halfway at this one. So anyway, you're going to get crucified. Your career is over. But even if it's like a purpose, sometimes I used to use it like purposefully, like this fit this joke. I don't do it anymore. But
kind of a way of subverting it.
And we also did grow up in a time where it wasn't. And I get why it's a big deal. Like, it makes sense.
Listen, I grew up saying it. I said it all the time growing up, just because I didn't know better. And then I remember because we used it when we were talking about it for us. We were using it in the term lame.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it became kind of turned into, this other word, lame, which I understand. And listen, I'm not defending it. I'm just saying this is what happened. Now, Steve also mentioned to us that he's been using Twitter for a long time. And I just figured out that if your account is private and you @reply someone, they won't see it unless they're following the private account. So let the people know with private accounts, they've got to email you or hit you up on Facebook. Hey, guys, I don't know if this is a thing that's been happening, but it was just a good little, I don't know, a little business item to throw out there.
Appreciate it, Steve.
If you have a private account, And you've been reaching out to us. We haven't seen it. So that's why we haven't responded.
So if all the girls are trying to ask me out over Twitter, you know what I mean? Email a brother.
But make sure you let us know which one of us you're reaching out to. Yeah. Because I'm just going to assume it was me.
Yeah, he will. He will do that.
Yeah, that was funnier in my head.
We both swung and missed a couple times this episode. This episode is going to be called Swing and a Miss.
Swing and a Miss. Swing and a Miss. That's my favorite, man. It's my favorite when we figure out the title in the middle of the episode. I do want to say this. I think, listen, not that we want to make this about us or anything, but you ever have questions about us, let us know.
Yeah. Sure. I probably won't answer them seriously, but whatever.
I don't know how much time we got, but we don't really. Listen, Madhuritha Sengupta, you wrote us a beautiful, beautiful email that feels like an essay, and I feel, to be honest, that I'm not in the headspace to truly honor and give it a proper response. So if you're cool, and Akash, if you're cool, we hold off on that for a week or so.
Of course. I'm always cool not working. real quick, shouts to Smita Singh. She has a podcast. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That's the name of one of my good family friends. But she has a podcast, Womanpreneur Strategies for Success. She shouted us out, showed us some love. Also, she said she loves Texas, so we're going to shout out her podcast. Check that out. This is a young South Asian woman doing her thing. Yeah, she loves Houston, which, you know, whatever.
I was just there. My family lives out. My sister lives out there. I got love for Houston.
Houston got this weird beef with Dallas. I cannot explain. They hate Dallas, and so we kind of hate them back because they hate us so passionately, but it's a very disproportionate hate. It's like...
They don't really care. It's like this.
It's like Oakland hates, or like the Bay Area hates L.A., and L.A.'s kind of like, I mean, I guess we hate you too, I guess.
Yeah. We have the same thing with baseball with Tampa and, like, the Yankees and Boston. We hate them, but both of them are just kind of like, we don't really care about you.
That doesn't even make sense. You are Tampa. No one cares.
Right. All right. Well, this made me feel better. Thanks.
Hey, buddy. That's what I'm here for.
Really, I'm checking one thing. Oh, right. That was the last thing I wanted to say. We unfortunately, and not... Unfortunately, but also fortunately, because Akash has to jump back and do Joking Off, we are not going to be able to make our joint trip to San Francisco next week to be.
Yeah.
We were excited. You want to say something about that?
No, yeah, I was going to say it's really sad. We're really excited for it. Love San Francisco. We're really excited to talk to some dope guests out there, but that didn't get to happen. But we are going to make a trip. I'm going to go see Arjun in Vancouver. We're definitely going to go down to Seattle. Hopefully, we can also make a Bay Area trip. Not necessarily likely with his shooting schedule, but we're going to try to make that happen at some point soon for sure.
And listen, heads up, guys. I mean, we have a strong community that we've been reaching out to, and but this is a community thing. If you know of people that you think would be a great guest, and let us know, you know, and we have ample weeks, you know what I mean? We have many weeks that we want to be doing this podcast, and so we have a lot of people that we want to get to talk to. So by all means, we always love hearing that, like, you have guest ideas.
Yeah, keep suggesting his guests. A lot of times they are good guests. The problem is getting us all in the same location. But also, can I be honest? We're getting a few too many really dope, impressive, this is the illest person at this. We want to make this inclusive, so that means not always getting a guy who's a multimillionaire, trailblazing genius.
That's a good point.
We want to talk to some people who are struggling, even if they are geniuses. They're working at a 7-Eleven to pay for med school or whatever. They just moved here for India. Whatever. We want this to be inclusive. So,
because the truth is, and we said this from the jump, we want to paint the full tapestry of everything.
Yes.
I think that's our time, right? I haven't been keeping track, but I think
32 minutes and 20 seconds. Beautiful.
My God, guys, we kept it quick for you guys. Monday, I believe, is Louise, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
White lady.
Yes. White lady. Yeah, that's it. She is white. Yes, this is true. White lady married to an Indian man. She's also an agent. She's a super genius. She's a super evil genius.
Yeah.
You guys are going to enjoy listening to her. So definitely come back on Monday to check that out.
Listen to this white lady speak Hindi better than both of us. It's a goddamn embarrassment.
Yeah, that did happen. Anyway, well, you guys know what to do. Hit us up on Twitter. Hit us up on, just keep showing love. Keep spreading the word. Rate the podcast. Review the podcast. Just keep helping us build this community. That we really appreciate when you guys do.
Hey, I'm going to check real quick. I'm going to check the American Desi thing, and I'm going to see if any of you fucking idiots have been reviewing it recently.
Wow, so aggressive.
You know, I gotta be the bad cop, and I embrace that role, Arjun. I think you get to sit here and be the good cop all the time. I'm the guy that has to be ignorant just to argue sometimes.
Wait, you want
to
switch it up? All right, we'll switch it up. I'll be the bad cop for you. Yo, you motherfuckers, get with it.
Oh, hey, Arjun, relax. They're doing their best.
Nah, man, they gotta do better, bro. They're just like, they fucking up. We out here trying to do for them, and then where they at?
Well, listen, Arjun, sometimes I think you have to be compassionate. You know what I mean? What would Gandhiji do?
Fuck compassion.
What would Gandhiji do, you know? Hey, my thing's not loading. I'm going to assume you guys haven't rated in a long time. So write a review, please. 5 stars. Tell someone to write a review. Homeless guy. Give him $1. Have him write a review in exchange. He could use the money. You know? Let's figure it out. Let's get something going.
We're going to end this because we've gone completely off the rails. I'm Arjun.
I'm Akash.
We're going to catch you in a couple days.
God bless.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.